Okay, so 6 o'clock, call the meeting to order, and roll call, please.
Secretary Scheifel.
Present.
Director Duquette.
Present.
Vice Chairman Woods.
Present. And unfortunately, Chairman Rosenblum is not feeling 100% tonight. He could not make it. And Sandy also has another commitment tonight. She couldn't make it. So, first thing, public input. No public input. So, next item, approval of the NAA public minutes of March 21, 2018.
The minutes were posted on the website. There are no recommended comments, changes, etc. Make a motion to approve the minutes of March 21, 2018.
Second.
And any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, opposed? So motion carries. Treasurer's report. We have, February 18, which we deferred last month, and now we've got March 18. So I'm going to defer that again until Michael can come address those, hopefully in the May meeting. So he'll have a lot to talk about come May. Communications, we have had none.
I have communicated with the city clerk with respect to bringing the Nashua Airport Authority website information up to date, and I received a text from her within the last hour saying that they've been working diligently to bring all of the various boards, etc., up to date. And they're shorthanded, and they're working on it, and ours will be updated tomorrow. Specifically, two of the board members were showing that their terms had lapsed in August of last year, and that's not correct. So it'll be up to date tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. So any other communications that we are aware of? Okay. So reports. First, I'll give the power report. And let's see. For the month of March, we had 2018 had 4,172 operations. So the variance between 2017 and 2018 is up 861 operations, or 26%. So that's a nice little tick upward. And anyone have any issues with that brief little power report? Okay, I'll move on from there. Airport manager.
Okay, we'll start recent events. We haven't had any upcoming events. The event, the Aviation Museum Barbecue, that was scheduled for June 2nd has been changed to June 9th. So if everybody could mark that appropriately, accordingly. Also on June 2nd, we have the EAA Young Eagles, and that is still a go for June 2nd. And the Air Power History Tour has been changed, and it's now scheduled for July 11th through July 15th. They're going to come here with the B-29 Super Fortress Fifi. They'll be here along with the C-45 Expediter, Bucket of Bolts, and the T-6 Texan. They're going to arrive on Monday, July 9th at noontime. They'll meet the press for pictures, stories, etc. There's no public for the first couple days. They're going to take a couple days off. And then on Wednesday, the 11th at 9 a.m., between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., they'll be doing their tour. And that runs through Sunday, July 15th. And they'll depart on the morning of July 16th, weather permitting. We still have the Summer Fun Movie Night and Wings and Wheels scheduled for the 14th and the 15th of September. They have yet to decide what the movie is going to be. Other items of interest. March 26th, Nick came to our office at the Nashua Airport Authority, and we had the SRE bid project bid opening at 10:30 a.m., and we only had one bidder, so by default they're the low bidder. And it was Milton Catt submitted the winning bid for a Caterpillar motor grader, model 160M3 AWD all-wheel drive. And it comes with a front-mounted power reversible snowplow as well as a wing plow. And Nick will speak about this a little more in more detail when he comes up to speak for the process of acquisition and time frame for delivery. April 3rd, runway 1432 groove seal remark project pre-construction meeting was held. Uneventful. We met with the contractors and ironed out all the times, the dates, procedures, etc. April 12th, that was my one-year anniversary. I've been the airport manager for a year. I made it.
We're all just as surprised.
Nobody formed a committee to get rid of me yet. April 16th through the 26th, the runway 1432 grooving project is currently underway. The runway is closed each day between the hours of 8 p.m. and 7 a.m. the following day. And I can tell you that they're moving right along on this, and I think Nick will speak a little more about this in his presentation. I came home last night from Florida late night, and I went down to the airport at about 1:30 in the morning and met with Danny Quarian and checked out the progress, and it's unbelievable how precise the machine is. I took videos of it, and I was just amazed at all the machinery and how fast they're actually working. So Nick will talk more about the schedule when he gets up. May 14th through the 18th, these are the dates that are tentatively scheduled for the sealing and remarking phase of the runway 1432 groove seal and remark project. The runway will be closing beginning at 7 a.m. Monday, May 14th, for 24 hours a day for the 5 days of this phase of the project. If the weather doesn't cooperate with these dates, we'll attempt the project the following week. And as we just discussed prior to the meeting, if we have any rain at all during these weeks, we can't continue with this phase of the project. So it's all weather dependent, may get pushed off even further than that. We have to get some nice weather. If anybody has a way to control that, let me know. Let's see. Nick and I put together a deal to purchase a $150,000 non-primary entitlement from Dean Memorial Airport for 5%, $7,500. This is currently in process. We're also in the process, just as of the other day, of making another deal to purchase an additional $150,000 for $7,500 from Dean Memorial. So that'll put a lot more into our piggy bank. And we're going to use the first part of it towards the SRE project. And if we time this right, the second half we're going to use towards an upcoming paving project. moving right into that, Vice Chairman Woods and I met with Nick and Rebecca McDonald from Gale Associates to begin planning for a paving project between 89 Perimeter Road and 129 Perimeter Road, including the north side of 129 Perimeter. Basically between all of the T hangars, Infinity, and the Airport Authority buildings. So, anybody have any questions?
The SRE project, you talked about using non-primary entitlement money for that. I thought AIP money was going to pay for a majority of that.
They will pay for the majority. Nick, can you?
The entitlements are granted to the airport every year, but it's all funded through the AIP program.
So it's another form of AIP money?
It's guaranteed AIP.
Okay.
Discretionary funding, the snow removal equipment does not meet the priority requirements. Again, additional AIP funds are awarded to the state every year in the amount of $800,000. I remember a few months ago, there was a question on the funding split. I had it 55-45 for NHDOT. Well, it's all AIP money.
Okay.
It's just appropriated to New Hampshire as a state for projects that they want to fund that may not be as highly ranked on the priority scale for discretionary funds. So, they had verbally committed to funding the SRE out of their state apportionments. However, if the authority purchases entitlements from another airport, then whenever Carol's writing the grant for the airport, she's going to say what's available, what is the gap, and she'll issue the rest out of the apportionment. So where we've already started the ball rolling with the first set of entitlements from Dean Memorial, it's expected that depending on when Carol issues the grant, she may pull those funds in the SRE project. The second set of entitlements, according to Carol, is just preliminary at this point. So if we hold off on sending in that document to NHDOT, the thought is she won't need to pull those funds to apply to an SRE project or some other project. She can apply them to the pavement maintenance phase two project when we scope that.
Okay. Thank you.
Where will Fifi be parked for the 2 days that it's not used?
Fifi will be parked out on the ramp, and the tower ramp is, you're looking out from the tower to the field, just to the right by the grass die downs on the pavement.
Will the public be able to see it from the road?
Yeah.
If they park in the tower parking area?
Yeah, they can't miss it. Coming down through my road. It can't go anywhere else in all reality. There's
pedestrian gate close by.
Which will be used during to get them in and out of there, but I was wondering for the, when it's down for a day and a half or whatever.
Yeah, it'll be parked over in the corner of that ramp where it was before.
And the public will be able to see it.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that aircraft is on Google Earth doing the airport in three dimensions. Mm-hmm. I think when the satellite was going over taking those images, it just happened to be parked right there. So the apron shows that airplane parked there.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Okay. Airport engineer.
Okay. Keep the master plan up first. I'll just address this real quickly. So when we put together our Gales monthly project update, we were anticipating that we would have alternatives put together to present to the authorities this evening based on a selection of a preferred alternative from the master plan committee. The master plan committee, as most of you know, met on Monday night, and there were some minor tweaks that we wanted to do to what is ultimately going to be the preferred alternative, so we deferred presenting those tonight. And the goal is to put together the chapter that describes all the alternatives, plus present all the alternatives at the May meeting. And in the absence of two authority members, it's probably not the worst thing in the world that we're going to push that off a month. So my update is a little bit obsolete, but we will be working on the alternatives and looking forward to presenting that at the May meeting. Questions on that?
Moving on to project number two, the pavement reconstruction and maintenance. Change order two has been signed by Continental Paving. According to Bruce, that was forwarded to the airport for signatures. Chris, have you received that change order number two?
No, I've received change order number two. I think we received the first one.
There was a second one that we needed to process in order to close out the project because Carol from NHDOT wanted to track those emergency drainage repairs made on the T5 apron separately.
I think we did sign that off because the Bruce Power part didn't ring a bell, but the drainage part did ring a bell.
Okay. I forwarded those to Continental first. They should have forwarded them to you, and then there should have been a pre-addressed.
Yeah, I believe they did. They went to Carol.
Okay. So that should be approved shortly, and once that change order is approved, it can be incorporated in the closeout report and final reimbursement. The project can be closed out. A meeting will be conducted with Bruce Bauer and Rick Charbonneau from Continental Paving to address the corrective actions on Taxiway Hotel. A date and time will be finalized. I know that everyone's schedule has been sort of up in the air. You know, Chris, you haven't been around. Again next week, school vacation next week. So we're trying to set a date with them, but we'll be calling you, Chris, when you're back after next week. So recommended actions, we've already signed them, they're on them. Any questions regarding the pavement maintenance project? Okay. Number three is the runway groove seal and remark. Phase one night work to install the grooves on the runway began on Monday, April 16th. From this date, the contractor has 10 days to complete grooving operations, although the construction schedule that's included in your packages, the date is 6 days, hoping for 5 actually. And upon completion of phase one, a stop work order will be issued until the third week in May, when they come back to apply the sealant and remark. Again, the second bullet here, phase two work will begin in late May, contingent upon weather permitting application of surface sealant. At the authority's request, Gail has prepared a request to relocate the hold position marking located on the runway 32 end, which is also in the attached figures. If approved, the hold position marking will be installed at the boundary of the runway safety area, similar to how the other taxiways are marked. And an ALS critical area hold position marking will be replaced where the existing hold position marking is on the runway 32 end on Alpha. During IFR conditions, aircraft would have to hold at the ILS hold position marking. During visual operations, they could hold at the hold position marking up to safety. But in either way, a memorandum of agreement would need to be prepared between the airport authority and the tower to certify the change in operational conditions depending on the weather. And this document will also be prepared by Gail and included in the change request to NHDOT. If approved, a change order will be processed to include the work in the Glue and Seal project. This work is not in Gail's original scope of work and fee for the project, but at this time, Gail's efforts to prepare and obtain the approval will be tracked separately, and if during the course of the project it's found that the budget can support inclusion of that work, no supplemental agreement for those costs will be prepared. However, if your budget starts to get constrained, if for some reason there's a change order with the construction work, you know, that may be something you have to address at that time. Any questions regarding the Glue and Seal project?
Looks like we're ahead of schedule, like I said, Nick.
Yes.
And you're saying possibly Saturday this will be complete?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
At the very worst, they anticipate being done grooming over Saturday night into Sunday. And that would most likely be a partial night work.
Okay. Now, I didn't go out back today, but Matt had told me that there was some issue with the slurry pit that they had put out back. Are you aware of this?
I am. I came out on Monday. Or actually Tuesday morning, and then again yesterday morning, met with the contractor, met with Matt. We came up with a plan to keep that water impounded and keep it from, on Monday night it flowed over the access road into an adjacent area. So we created some earth berms to sort of hold that water back and then relieve some of the drainage issues so that we can promote drainage towards you know, the filter strip and then into the little drainage basin that's right there. So at this time, and overnight last night, it seemed to have worked sufficiently. I think Matt was going to go out and put a couple more stone check dams in. But as far as I'm aware, that that issue just seems to resolve.
Okay. And there's no damage from this that needs repair? Or
The damage to the infield where the staging area is would be something that's covered under the contract. It's their responsibility to restore the area to the pre-existing condition or better. So any other areas that are deficient would certainly be repaired at that time.
So we don't have to search out a contractor and they'll take care of it?
Yes, they
okay.
will take care of it.
Okay, so no questions about moving the whole short line. We're going to put the VFR whole short line, you know, much closer to the runway center line. So, you know, you don't have to drive so far, you know, once you're cleared onto 32 for takeoff. No questions about that? Okay. You know, we found some language in one of the FAA orders that you know, that allowed us to make that change. And that came out after the runway reconstruction project was completed. So we're taking advantage of that. Okay, so
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
This is the very first part of that. You said that you're talking about the island critical.
Okay, so, was this?
Did you look at that?
Oh, yeah. So you understand where the current hold short line for 3-2 is. It's kind of far away from the actual runway. So what we have is we actually have an opportunity to move that hold short line much closer to the runway. And so for, you know, the short of it is, for day VFR operations, when you're clear to taxi, you'll be able to go up to that hold short line much closer to the runway, so that you don't have to drive like 565 feet.
Okay.
To, you know, once you're cleared on the 3-2.
Did you split it in half or
quarter? Basically, we didn't split it in half or quarter it. You know, it has to do with, you know, runway, you know, protected surfaces for the, you know, for the instrument approaches to that runway, and, you know, the circumstances under which those come into play versus when they don't. If you want three-part harmony, I can give that to you after the meeting.
Okay. Nick, is there any specific, or Matt, any specific methodology that drove that location for the new hold short line?
250 feet.
From?
So you'd be outside of the runway safety area.
So yeah. That's the bare minimum. Yep.
That is the same offset on all the stops in the one.
That's as close as you could have possibly gotten. Yeah.
So we're going to create an ILS critical area, Steve. That line will look like a ladder, a yellow ladder, and right. That will be placed where the current hold short line exists.
Okay. All right.
And that'll come into play when the field's IFR, but we're still using 3-2.
This is way better.
I should add the caveat that this still has to be approved by NHC. I don't see a reason why it wouldn't, because mm-hmm. they've already approved it verbally.
And we've had that email exchange with the specialist in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sean runs down in flight procedures.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Allow us to barrel perhaps?
If you wish. I'm sure she wouldn't object. So,
actually, she cannot accept
yet. Yeah. Yeah, right.
She can't even attend a meeting and take up time.
Okay.
And knowing Carol as a stickler she is, she would not accept even that.
Indeed, I don't doubt that. Okay. So moving on from there.
So project number 5, which is actually number 4, our project number. Again, bids were opened on March 26th at the airport. Based upon the bid, Yale prepared a grant application and has submitted that to NHDOT for funding. Once a grant is in place, Yale will prepare a letter of recommendation to award the contract to Milton Cat for the grader. The bid for Milton Cat was $3,899, which is approximately 4% higher than what we estimated, but still within the realm of reasonable difference. So we prepared all of the funding applications using that number. At this point, it's in the hands of NHDOT. They'll be applying for their block grant by May 1st. And then typically, block grant states receive federal funds first because there's more than one airport in the state. So that should be turned around by early summer.
Are they going to build this for up to our specifications, or is it not official?
No, they build it. I mean, all of their equipment, they sort of have the demo at the dealer, but you have to wait for them.
Will we see it for this winter, this coming winter?
That is the intent, yeah.
Was it 150 days, Nick?
150 calendar days.
When?
Does this come with any after the sale service included?
At this time, there is a 1-year warranty included with the piece of equipment. They try to talk you into the service agreements, things like that, but I think Matt and Joe are more than capable of maintaining that equipment. They have all the tools they need. They will have spare parts that come with the equipment, so no extended service agreement was included. Matt would not be AIP eligible.
Were we getting the computer too with this one? Is that correct?
The
diagnostic, scan. Yeah, like an OBD2?
Yes, I did not remove that from the spec.
Okay.
So, hopefully that will be included.
Any other questions for those projects? Thank you, Nick. So moving on from there, this is under old business, HB 124 update. I don't have any updates on that at the moment, that or the corresponding Senate bill. Have you heard any?
No. Yes.
So it seems to be the noon time for all the good gossip back and forth. I spoke with Marty Jack about that very issue. And you probably know that the Senate had their own version that created a new fee structure for registration fees, but made no attempt to provide the funding that our DOT friends would like. So the Senate passed that, sent it over to the House. Marty informed me that the House looked at it, and they and I'm not a whiz on legislative procedure, but they voted to gut that, insert the contents of their HB 124 into the Senate, and send it back to the Senate. So somehow in this ping pong game, that the next, Marty alluded that the next step is the Senate gets that and they create a conference committee, presumably because, you know, they're not happy with what the House did. And so that's the next step. I do not know what he did not suggest when that would be scheduled.
Stay tuned.
So a conference committee is essentially the same thing?
Well, the way conference committees work is that the Senate send some people and the House sends some people, and they argue about the bill. And
you said they gutted the one, inserted the other, so they're effectively the same.
Well, the Senate gets back.
Well, okay.
You know, the House bill with a Senate number on it, essentially, and that's however the procedure.
Okay.
So that's the way apparently the House says to the Senate, no, we want what we want. So, stay tuned.
Okay. So, moving on from there, we have one item under new business. This actually came up. This actually came up during the master plan committee the other night, and this has to do with the proposed widening of Sharon Ave. And this evening we have Alderwoman Schmidt. Who is keenly interested in this particular issue. And before I speak to it, would you like to tell us, please, what this is about, what the city wants to do?
What you have in your hands is all the official information I have. I can tell you before I was confirmed in the position of alderman that I have received about 10 calls about Sharon Ave. The snow that was drifting across the road. And thank you, whoever decided to put the Canadian windbreak or whatever it was, because it fixed for the rest of the year. The biggest problem that people are telling is that there's a sidewalk on the side of the road because there's a water problem. As it stands right now, two cars can be side by side to make the turn in the right lane, unless they're kind of right. They can't fit in there, but it's not striped for that. And because of the sidewalk, the road keeps getting destroyed further and further. So an engineer did look at it. They said, yes, indeed, it needs to be going on our plan this year. And that's as far as I've heard so far. But the DPW would be glad to hear any concerns you might have, anything that you think should be considered before they see their final engineer. You've got the map that everybody knows the Sharon Ave looks like and travel there. And you know that since Amherst Street has been completed,
yes, it is. And actually, on a personal level, I like what they did at the Amherst Street side. I think that's wonderful. They did some great work there. Is there a specific person we should be in touch with in the city regarding widening the other end of Sharon Ave, where it empties on the Pine Hill?
I would talk to Director Hotel about it. Okay. I think that the best way to get started for any conversation.
Okay. The reason this came up in the master plan committee the other night, and the reason why it's a concern to the airport, is you know, even though the airport property is technically city property, and is leased back to the airport for the operation of the airport, all that so-called airport property is federally obligated, because you've heard discussion tonight of how the airport accepts federal funds, for various capital projects and, equipment to maintain the airport and such. Now, that comes with a few strings attached, and part of that is that we can't simply, allow the city to come in there and, say, take 10 feet of the property at the corner of Sharon Ave and Pine Hill for the purpose of creating a dedicated right turn lane. The FAA has a process for taking a chunk of land like that and using it for some what they call a non-aeronautical purpose. They do have a process for that, and when we were discussing this with Carol Nolwa from NHDOT the other night, it sounded like it would be likely, if we provided the correct justification, that FAA would approve the use of that land for the right turn lane, but we have to go through their process to do that. She did tell us that that is about a 6 to 9 month endeavor.
Now would be the time to get started then.
Okay.
So the best thing to do would be to get hold of Director Soto. Any questions you have, the limits that you have to live with, any connections she would need for her engineers to talk with anybody. If you could give as much information to her,
okay.
She can see this through with me.
Okay, Chris, is that something you can follow
yep,
up on?
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
And I guess that, please. Approximately 2 years ago, this was kind of my project. What are we going to do with that corner? Once the house had been removed and the ground stabilized and the drainage, etc. Those white picket fences were put up. And there were all kinds of offers, for example, or suggestions. One of them was to create a playground for the children that live on Pine Hill Road. And we absolutely said that could not be done because it's the airport, it's the runway protection zone. But then the question came up about taking some of that to make a dedicated right-hand turn onto Pine Hill Road from Sharon. Now, I'm sure that everybody knows that Pine Hill Road has now become Amherst Street 2. It's the greatest way to get all the way down the other end of Amherst without traffic lights, and it's getting busier and busier, as evidenced by the fact that the police department now parks almost permanently cars at the church at the beginning of Pine Hill Road because there's probably so many complaints about speeding.
Yes, I have to tell them.
Okay, so that road is not going to get any less busy. In fact, it's going to get very, very busy. So we, the former airport manager and I, addressed the city engineers or the street department as to what were their intentions. Do you have any designs to do that? And they said, absolutely not. Because we knew that the construction of Sharon Ave and Amherst Street was coming up. And we figured, if you're going to do it, this would be a great time to do all that. And they said, absolutely not. It's not even, nowhere in the world are we going to make a right-hand turn lane from Sharon onto Pine Hill Road. Well, here we go. They're now going to do it. And we believe that it should be done. But in view of the fact that the road is extremely busy now and going to get busier, we thought that it made sense to have the city talk to us about taking a piece of that property and thus being willing to give it up for a widening of the road and a mandatory right turn lane. But obviously done properly, engineering-wise, drainage and all that kind of stuff. And in addition, we feel that there should be a traffic light there to accommodate that ever-increasing line of traffic. I think I've looked at the drawing, and basically it looks like that during a paving project, they're going to do some work on the drainage to make sure that it's not going to collapse, tarp, put some new asphalt down, and put a stripe there and a right turn arrow, and walk away from it. And I don't think that's
going to. No, the entire street is going to be redone.
Oh, no, it's going to be paved. I understand.
I think at this point, all want things to come up. There are some really bad places on the street that really do have to be replaced. I don't think they're going to walk away from it. There have been suggestions of the stop signs, and also a traffic circle. Now, a traffic circle would be a great idea, but I think it's too small. I think the engineer said the area was too small.
You'd have the cars turning into people's lawns.
Yeah, but for right now, the best that they can offer us in the 5-year plan that they've got is to redo the entire road so that it's in good nick and put in that dedicated right-hand lane. So it's a good start. It doesn't mean that we can't do something more afterwards. I think with some good striping, so we could slow down traffic on there. There are lots of suggestions on how to put in, say, a bike lane. That would slow traffic down because the road would be more narrow. There are a lot of good ideas for slowing traffic. So step one, we need to get it redone before that road entirely breaks down on the right-hand side. But your best option is to get a hold of the director as soon as possible so that this process can start.
Well, we were concerned because up until two nights ago when we were meeting and talking, we were of the opinion, the information I had been given, absolutely dead in subject, nothing at all. And then my colleague had looked up your website, your page, and found it, and we found this. And it's gone from zero to 100 miles an hour. With us not even, it will be completed this year, it says.
We must have heard your suggestion 2 years ago. No, it's the 5-year paving plan was put through last year. I think it was put through last year. And so the city has been finding specific places that they can start with on the first year that don't need poles moved, don't need a huge amount of underground work. And so they said,
"Chairman,
this is the
place to start." Well, I think more generally, part of the point, correct me if I'm wrong here, Bob, is that we think that this is a good idea and it's definitely needed. It's like we're in total agreement with that. But more generally, if the city wants to make a plan that has some sort of effect on airport property, the airport needs to be informed. We need to be included,
and it's a bureaucratic process beyond us that we can push. We agree with
that. Excellent. Shall I tell her to expect an email or?
I'll be calling Lisa.
Okay. Good. And if I can answer any more questions, please feel free to call or send a phone signal. I'll be glad to answer anything.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So let's see. Next on the agenda is upcoming events. I think Chris covered that in the manager's report. And that brings us to public input as we close out the meeting. Wes.
Well, I'm glad you're having fun. I guess I'll congratulate Chris on making it through his first year. Hopefully that's just as much as his second year. And in my view, you've done a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta tell you, I'm looking happy about that. Talking about the whole thing. That's been a long time coming. And I'm curious, if anybody spoke into flying up there in the tower office, as far as where the cross that, not wanting to use the light of the light, not more people want to put
it. Line up and wait might be another matter. We do need to have a discussion with Brian per the FAA order involved here. And come up with a procedure. You have to have an agreement with the tower as to, when which whole short line is going to get used.
Right.
So we do have to have that discussion with him. I don't know what the timing on that is going to be just yet.
Can I add something?
They're just as frustrated as we are to not be able to have that tool. They have to hold something because you don't know how quickly that person's going to move or move at all when you still have them on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
They can't move as many people and therefore less than the number of operators.
Right. If we do move the VFR hold short line, we do have the potential to have better throughput at that end of the runway. That's definitely one of the goals there. Chris?
I had a discussion with Brian Dean last year in regards to the lineup and wait. and I was told that the FAA didn't approve it because we don't have enough operations, total operations. I said, well, you need to go back to them and explain to them that on weekends we have more than enough operations for this, and they can't generalize it and just say we don't have enough operations overall, because we all know that on a nice weekend it's very busy. So Brian said he'd revisit that, and we'll see if we can get that approved.
Well, I guess we went at 26%, but it's out of that.
Let's hope it continues.
Yes, indeed. Anybody else?
Is this a time we can talk about landing the grass? Or should we wait until next spring?
Go ahead.
So one of the things we discussed for the people who weren't there at the Monday night master plan meeting was the status of what we used to call the grass road. And before the runway moved, we could ask the tower to land in the grass next to runway 432, and they would clear the landing runways. Since the runway has moved, we haven't done that. And we talked about Monday night about what's required for us to do that. So I came away from that discussion believing that the airport authority should task the airport manager with coming up with a plan for tower coordination, how that would be marked, how that would be maintained, bring that back to the National Airport Authority, and they can vote yay or nay on that. I think that the authority can do that. I think that a bunch of us would be perfectly happy to land in that area on our own risk. Obviously, we have to know where the thresholds will be, and somebody has to look at the terrain to see whether we would just use it for stop and goes, and when we wanted to go back to the hangar and cycle around with them on the pavement, or whether in fact there might be access to taxi from that grassy area across the current pavement back in.
Could I tag on to that a little bit?
Go ahead, please.
One of the things that I missed about the RAF other than just doing software field landing and stuff, is there's one less place to put the helicopters to get them off of our runway, because they sit there and they take forever to get them, lessen the number of operations, handicap the controllers and everybody else for that matter. So, when you're thinking about it, I would think also, by the way, a place to put the helicopters so they can do their thing. They can stay all day long if they want to. It doesn't disrupt the rest of the flow.
I apologize for not bringing that up, say, like under business, because we've been talking about it the other day. Chris, can I put you on the spot and ask if you can have a discussion with Brian about in more detail about operating off the grass?
Yep. Seeing that this was my whole crazy idea to begin with, I'm going to follow through with it. So I think everybody wants it, and we're going to make it happen. So I will have those discussions with Brian. My staff.
Part of the question came up that we were talking about our potential liability. If it's on the diagram that the runway exists, then it is, and it's a runway. Or if we're not going to do it, then we should not show it. So we don't know whether we should or should not.
Well, the other issue is that on the AMP plan, it's things that are our wish list for
Correct.
Funding, and we would never seek funding for anything to do with.
Correct.
The grass runway.
And if it does appear on the LT, it has to comply with all of FAA regulations, Part 21, slope needs to be clear, construction, things like that. Separation standards apply. That was part of the premise for moving, I guess.
Right.
Another question for the engineer. So what is actually marked and used, maintained by the airport? Is there a document in which it does appear?
No. The only document that the document that is essentially the plan and the map for the airport is the airport layout plan.
And that's I go to airdiagram.com and I see airport diagrams and grass runways. So that comes from somewhere.
on an approved ALC?
I don't know.
I don't know the document you're referring to, but if it's on an approved ALP, it's recognized by, in this case, the state and the FAA as an approved runway. And therefore must comply with FAA regulation.
Wes, if I can paraphrase, you mean basically you can go to airnav.com, look at certain airports, and see that a given grass runway is charted.
Yeah, the airport diagrams where it just points out all the different.
Yep.
So that's all done.
You'd find
that would be on an ALP. On the airnav, that would be on an ALP.
Okay. A lot of these airports, in effect, are not federally operated.
So airports that have grass runways, if you go called the airport facility directory. Airports that have official grass runways, those runways would appear
the airport created
in that directory.
Is that something that's created through the 5010? That we do each year? Right, because last year when I did that with Reader, I believe that...
When we built the new runway, we filed a 5010, the new pavement orientation.
Right.
I'm guessing that if it were privately owned or non-operated, they would provide
a 5010.
They would file a 5010 if they wanted chartered approaches or if they had
public use.
If it were public use and accepted federal money, then their consultant or their savvy airport commission would have filed that.
But, for instance, Newport, New Hampshire is a public use airport, and they do not accept federal funds. And you know, I can see that there's not in some of those cases. So I don't know what paperwork they would file. Obviously, this stuff gets published.
I'd like to
call me forward.
Yeah, I'd like to know that information as well. But if you're not an obligated airport, your infrastructure does not have to comply with the regulations. So that could be sort of fly at your own risk in and out.
Which we do every time we fly.
That's right. That is correct. I know that Chatham has a unofficial grass one. Delineated by cones, basically spare tires that they just put in the ground and they paint once a year on both ends, and that's the only way you know it's there. It's not on any document.
Sanford, Maine has that too, but I believe it talks about it in the AFD for Sanford. I'd have to look it up, but I believe that's there.
Well, now you can look up Chatham on the AFD.
Okay. Anything else on the turf runway? Any other public input this evening? Okay. With that, director's comments. I'll start with Bob.
I have one question. Tony Bolton, did you shed any light on the former day was the college?
No. I'm not in touch with anybody on that. So
the city of Fish does not know?
No. No, they've not been in touch with us. So the new owner has not been in touch with us.
Do we know who the new owner is?
Yeah, it's a fellow named Lee or Lou. So I know what I mean.
But it's not the same university.
Father Day,
is it Wes?
University of Hong Kong or whoever it was reported to be. It's not that.
Okay.
Or at least they claim it's not that. And it's still a mystery, but we know where to send the tax bill.
Okay. Well, there was
a domestic address.
It's a lawyer in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, basically the story said, we don't know.
Yeah.
Some guy in Brookline, New Hampshire.
There are a lot of them.
So it went from nonprofit to profit, and now there's a tax bill, and it's going to go somewhere.
Well, we've been taxing it for a number of years. IGT was not a nonprofit either. So, we're not looking forward to having the step all become non taxable, but if it happens, it happens.
Okay. Director Duquette.
I'd just like to congratulate Chris on the 1 year. When I first started on the board, very shortly thereafter, we went through a great schism here at the NAA, and I thought for a little while, what have I gotten myself into? But I was very glad to meet Chris and for him to accept the position, and I think he's a great guy doing a great job, so I just wanted to echo, for sure, the feelings of pretty much everybody involved with the airport. So, here, here. Thank you. Congratulations.
Two words, thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to say kind things about Chris, too. I think he's been doing a fantastic job this past year. It was kind of trial by fire, if I remember. You know, it's like pretty much as soon as he came on board, you know, we had, you know, you had some interesting things to deal with. And you know, you've done a fantastic job handling all those, you know, sinkholes and
G5s and sinkholes.
G5s and sinkholes.
Off airport landing.
Had a crash on the third day of the job.
The only manager that I've worked with who actually read the entire grant application cover to cover before he signed it. He certainly does.
So, thank you, Chris, and congratulations on your first year.
Thanks.
You know, we're looking forward to a nice long career.
Same.
And I think on that same note, Susan coming back and the whole team. Again, my context was a much older previous year, so I kind of came back into to the area here a little bit and heard a lot of things and saw a lot of things. And from everything I can tell, from those that have been around longer than I in recent years, it's a night and day difference. I think the whole team has done a great job and has really changed a lot of feelings. Like I said, when I first started coming to the NAA board meetings, it was contentious at times. It was a very interesting couple of hours every month, and the tone changed rapidly last spring, and I think it's just gotten better and better. So thanks to all.
And actually, I'll make one more comment. Susan's been with us for you know, over a year now. We're very lucky to have her back. As, you know, she came back to us at a time when, you know, it's like we were in a bit of a bind. You know, we needed someone who knew how to run the office, and you know, Susan, you know, already knew a lot of the procedures. She did, you know, she knew where, you know, various skeletons lived, and you know, we're very grateful to have you back. Thank you. Okay, with that, I'd like a motion to adjourn to non-public pursuant to RSA 91-832A to discuss dismissal, promotion, or compensation of a public employee.
Second.
Oh, okay.
And
we're also going to discuss lease terms. So, I heard a second. Do we need a roll call?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Secretary Scheifele.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Woods.
Yes. Okay. So we are adjourned to non-public. So I want to discuss the lease first.